Oh, I'll hit record. Welcome everyone to the Big Dog Q&A call. This is the Thursday call with Shanoa. I see some questions already, so I'll go ahead and get them started. John says, has anyone had a good experience with using an online auction process to sell properties? What kind of fees? Actually, what's kind of interesting is our neighbor, and her name is Linda Welsh. Has been selling properties auction style for, gosh, probably the last 10 to 15 years. So she is very good at that. I can't speak for her fees exactly. The thing that they do very different though from, for example, a regular agent is they charge all of their fees up front. So normally they'll charge you the marketing fee. And they'll take that up front. Usually I've seen those numbers look anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000, depending on where all they're advertising. You'll see their advertisements in places like Wall Street Journal, New York Times, as well as many other places. But really what they're trying to do is extend their reach so they can get more eyes on the property. And that's one of the reasons that they charge it up front versus most agents kind of charge it on the back end, just because all they're doing is popping it in the MLS for the most part. I mean, because that's almost really all you need to do to sell a property today, unless it's some sort of a very unique type of a property. Then sometimes those properties, and sometimes it's the higher end properties that need a little bit more or a little different type of marketing, if you will. So that's where you see a lot of these agents focus. They're not usually, and I can't, you know, this is not in every case, but usually when they're auctioning properties, they're not selling, you know, like $100,000 or below property. A lot of times the property auctions that I see, at least the ones that Linda Welsh, our neighbor, does, are, you know, million plus dollar properties. And usually they're properties that are kind of tougher to sell. And million-dollar properties and above are usually tougher to sell. And one of the reasons why that is because there's more of them. So there's more longer days on market, more months of inventory. And sometimes when you get to that category of house, buyers want what they want. And they're very specific about their requirements. And a lot of times when you get to that category or that price point as well, you have homeowners, home sellers who have made a house that's very convenient to their needs and maybe not convenient to the needs of the rest of the buyers that are necessarily in the buyer pool. So beyond that $10,000 to $20,000 or so marketing fee, usually I think they still charge at least a 3%, if not more, commission. But again, if you Google Linda Welsh, again, she's based here in Austin, has done many auctions. In fact, even auctioned the house next to ours, probably about 8 or 9 years ago. So has lots of experience in doing that sort of stuff. So great person to reach out to. Very knowledgeable. Also has been a real estate realtor and broker for probably the last, I'm guessing, 15 or 20 years. So lots of experience there. So John, I hope that sort of kind of gets to answer your question. If it doesn't, let me know. The other thing I'll say that they do is they have, big open houses, and they do a lot of advertising for those open houses. They'll always recommend, insist usually, that the seller get an inspection report and share that inspection report with the buyers. So that way the buyers aren't, you know, making their offer contingent upon anything, contingent upon any inspections or anything like that. So that's a little added cost, but it's not very much, considering. And, you get to choose between, kind of a couple different auction styles. So they have a no reserve auction and an auction that is where there is a reserve placed on it, basically saying, you know, I don't want it to sell for, I won't sell it for any less than, you know, $1 million. So you'll see in some cases, someone might win an auction, win the bid, but may not satisfy the reserve, as an example. So I know that's a little long-winded, but John, I hope all that makes sense. Next question, Wes says, when talking to potential buyers and sellers, should we mention we're in the Big Dog Mentorship Program? you know, I don't think that's going to mean anything to them, to be honest with you. So I don't know that that's something necessarily that you need to mention at all. I don't think that holds any, that holds weight with, you know, other investors, that may not, you know, most sellers aren't, will not have heard of us just because they're not in our industry. Right. So, but I would just kind of emphasize that you're part of a large investor group. They don't, you know, the name may not necessarily resonate for them. So I would just say, again, a large investor group shares ideas, tribal knowledge, funds deals for each other, partners on deals, has different ways to get properties under contract, get them bought and sold, can be very creative, and have been doing this for the last, 15 plus years. So that I think will have more weight than necessarily saying, we're in the big dog program as an example. Let's see, John has a follow-up question. Let's see, is there experience from building from the ground up, either good or bad, preferably good, meant experience in the group about development? Yes. So we have several different builders, contractors, remodelers in the group, and so many services within the group. I'll go ahead and go to the slide where we've got the list of the different builders and remodelers that are part of our group. And I've only listed a few of them, so there's even more than what is listed here. So, but this is a great list to kind of give you an idea. So here are the folks that are, for example, in Austin. Buddy is been a long time big dog. Gosh, I mean, if I were to guess, I'd say Buddy's been a big dog for, maybe 7-8 years. Dave and Sandy, been big dogs for a long time, worked on a project for me. Derek Keith has worked on projects for Bill Busick and many other big dogs. Derek Morse, the same thing. John Leyendecker is actually Buddy's partner in building. Lisa Cadawar primarily does the high-end builds. Trey Morris, also I'd say probably 400 to and up builds. Vanessa Myers, they do both renovation as well as new builds, anywhere from $300,000+ houses to $3 million houses. So lots of experience there. And then of course we have in San Antonio, John Barr, Elizabeth Luna, and then obviously this is a non-big dog, but you want to check with some of these other big dogs to see, hey, who are you guys working with right now? Who are you recommending? And that's where you'll be able to get that additional information. So John, hope that makes sense. Let's see here. The next question. Stuart says, what are the best options for outsourcing list scrubbing? I would say a virtual assistant would be great for that. So Stuart, I think you have, Brent Mott's, info. So I would probably reach out to him because he probably has a couple different recommendations as well. I'll give you a couple here too. Sorry, I know it looks like I'm moving my screen around just so I can see my own slides. Let's see here. So there's a couple we can, and I can't say I can recommend them, but we've used. So I know that Brent has used Marge at DoDeals.com. They've got a bunch of VAs. I believe they're based out of Houston. There's Upwork.com. We've used them personally. And then we have a big dog in San Antonio whose nephew lives in Indonesia. And for $4 an hour, they will do an amazing amount of work for you, a startling amount of work for you. So, and of course, Chris Sumantra is also a big dog. And if you feel bad, $4 an hour in Indonesia is like living like a king over there. So don't feel bad about that. They can, compile the list, scrub the list, which is exactly what you're looking for. You do have to teach them. So the best way to do that is usually via a video. And then also with the written instructions. So that would be what I would recommend. Brent Mott may have some other options or suggestions when it comes to different VA services. So I'd recommend you chat with him as well. Mubashar, hi, says, who do I need to contact to outsource for Facebook advertisement, lead handle, team, and any other outsource systems? So we do have a Facebook expert, let me just see if I have him in here. Let's see. I'm not sure if I have him in here. Let me just see. I'm going to go ahead and add him in. Let me just see where I'm going to put him. Sorry, this is live action here. I hope that's okay. We've got some different recommendation sections, resources sections, app sections, etc. So let's see if I can find, hard money contacts, property marketing contacts, All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put him in marketing contacts. I'm putting him right here. So Ryan Schlebeck, he is a big dog and Facebook marketing pro. And I'm embarrassed to say I don't have my phone in front of me. So I don't have his number in front of me. But if you go on to the Big Dog Facebook page, you'll find him. He goes to many of the meetings throughout Texas. So you'll see him over and over again. So he's a great, great, great resource. But he can talk to you about getting that Facebook marketing set up. And some of the other folks that he's worked with that might want to work with you as well. In terms of handling leads and outsourcing other systems, I can definitely recommend, well, what I will recommend is coming to the Big Dog Inner Circle meeting, the next one, and just say, hey, I'm willing to throw some money at marketing and advertising. I need someone who can take my calls, set up appointments, put properties under contract, and basically tee up the entire deal. For that, I will give you a commission or whatever it will, be, or half the profits or whatever. So that's how I would go about addressing that. Usually, you'll have several people that will come up to you after and say, yes, you know what, if you're willing to put the money in marketing, you're willing to split the deals, then I will go and chase down all of your deals. So that's exactly what you're looking for. I'd probably go ahead and put a similar post out on the Big Dog Facebook page, just so you can have several different people you can talk to. We have several people who spend more of their time doing marketing and less of their money doing marketing. So for people who have more time, this would be a relationship that would be perfect for them. For people who have more money, this is not as good of a relationship, but we have a ton of big dogs who will do kind of what I'll call a soup to nuts service for you. As you are kind of getting set up, as you're still working your full-time job, etc. So put it out on the Big Dog Facebook page. I don't have someone specifically that I could recommend, but if you want to run them by me and say, hey, I talked to this person, that person, the other person, I'd be happy to just kind of put my eyes on it, make sure it's a good match for you. So some big dogs are better matches for others, obviously, I'd be happy to put eyes on it. And see, I would also, as you're talking to them, inquire like how long they have been closing, talk to them about their close rate, ask them who else they're working with, who else they've been successful with, i.e. can they give you some references, that sort of stuff. So that's what I would probably recommend first and foremost. So let's see, that's that question. Lloyd says, if just starting out, how do you respond if a potential client asks us how long we've been investing? Well, that's interesting. I guess my question back to you is, did you actually get that question? Or is this kind of something you're worried about even before the questions come up? So I rarely get that question, to be honest with you. But if you do, I would just say, well, my partners and I, that includes me and Phil, have been investing for the last 16 years, and we've got an entire team together to be able to execute every type of real estate transaction, from single family to multifamily, and any type of commercial. We have banks and lenders that work with us directly to fund our deals quickly. And we have attorneys that work with us to solve any real estate problems that we have. or figure out any, you know, issues that might come up. And we've just got a great team, and we're built to close, and we're ready to help you and your with your home and get your house sold or get your property sold as quickly as possible. So, yeah, I will say that it's very rare that someone will ask me specifically about how long I've been doing it. Now probably because I do go in with a fair degree of you know, self-confidence. So, and that obviously comes with time. So, and you will obviously get there. We all do, right? Just everything takes a little bit of time, but I would not worry too much about, someone, yeah. So Lloyd says, yeah, it's not yet had that question. Yeah. You're probably not going to get that question. Now if you act like you don't know what you're doing, i.e. you can't fill out a contract because you haven't gone through the training, i.e. you don't know what questions to ask because you haven't gone through the training. No, you'll probably get that question. But if you go through the training, use the network, which obviously, you know, we're here to help, then you, that's would not be something I would worry about. Sonia says, if you have a seller with a fairly new house, very little equity, and needs to sell in 30 to 45 days, what might be a good strategy for him? Sure. So during the training, I gave you guys probably a strategy matrix that probably looks something like this. If not, if it was before your time, then you can just do a screenshot of it. But this is what I like to go through. So for example, if they owe 100% of ARV minus repairs, well, they're probably a short sale or a mortgage assignment or a lease option, as long as it's under 180 days, which is a little bit of a fool's errand. Could be, you know, if it's 90% of ARV minus repairs, could be a good buy and hold, depends on the loan amount or the loan, which is not an old loan, or the location if it's in an appreciating area. It could be a great listing referral. And houses, in some cases, they're not selling within 30 to 45 days, but they're typically going under contract on average within about 60 days, which is super fast. So it could be a great listing referral. It could be a house swap. If, for example, you had another seller that you wanted to put into their house. So those are some of the things that we might consider, depending on what their equity position is. If you're not a realtor, you can get a marketing referral from one of these sellers that has a little bit of equity to be able to not have to bring money to the closing table. Of course, a great strategy for no equity, motivated, selling 30 to 45 days is the wraparound mortgage or mortgage assignment. Remember, this is seller Sam, buyer Bob, where the seller has little, no, or negative equity, and the buyer can put down a down payment that's big enough to reinstate the loan if there is, if the seller is behind, pay the closing costs, and of course, put a little bit of money in your pocket as well. So, Sonia, I hope that makes sense. You're welcome. Christine says, when figuring out a pre-foreclosure deal, how much of the reinstatement amount can you count toward the payoff amount? That's a great question. I know there are fees and fines that all add up in the arrears, so not all of it will apply to the payoff. That is a great question. And I have to tell you, the answer I have is going to be disappointing. So what does that mean? That means that most of the reinstatement is going to go towards interest and penalties, maybe 10 to 20%, depending on how old the loan is, will go to the principal. So if it's a 20-year loan, probably much more will go to principal. But if it is a 5-year loan, then almost all of it's going to go to interest, right? Just because if you look at if they would have made the payment over the last, you know, 6 months, for example, and you look at how their amortization schedule works, most of the payment in the first, you know, 17 years of the mortgage goes towards the interest. So it's not until year 17 that magic happens, that most of the payment starts to go towards the principal as opposed to the interest. So that's just how that works. It's unfortunate, but that's it. The reason why you can even ask the bank if they will calculate, okay, what's the new payoff after we reinstate? Now, to be clear though, the payoff that they give you is going to have interest payments in it, those late interest payments anyway. It's part of the payoff because it's the amount that they owe. So don't think like, oh, I'm paying it twice if I reinstate, if I buy it subject to, because you're not. And a lot of times when they build your reinstatement quote, and you can ask them for some detail on this, but a lot of times they'll break it out like this much towards principal, this much towards interest, this much towards attorney fees, this much towards trustee fees, this much towards late fees, this much towards property preservation fees, this much, and the list goes on long, believe me. And sometimes even if they're behind on property taxes, if the bank had to step in and pay property taxes, that could be in there as well. So some things to look for. Last question, guys, last question. So if you have any other questions, go and get them typed in now. Brian says, do you recommend marketing through LinkedIn? If you were maxing out every other marketing strategy, then I'd say, yes, go after LinkedIn. But if you have not yet maxed out your marketing budget and some of the other higher return marketing strategies, then I would say no. And the reason is because, listen, most people are on LinkedIn. I mean, some of them, are on there because they don't have jobs, but most of them do. I don't know, you'll have to tell me, is there a jobs? Because I'm on LinkedIn, but I'm rarely on LinkedIn. But is there a section for, hey, search for all of my, friends, or search for everybody in Austin who's not currently employed? If there was that, then I'd say, yeah, let's take a look at that. But if there's not, and I don't think there is, but I don't know, then I would only consider it, if that was an option. So, Brian, hope that makes sense. Well, guys, I don't see any other questions. Are there any other questions? Anything else I can answer for you guys? What else can I answer for you? Hey, Glynis. Glynis says, I don't know whether or not I missed a New Year's introduction. What's the latest on the REI Matcher? We're getting ready to migrate everything over into kind of what we call Big Dog 2.0. So we're hoping that's going to be no later than second quarter, hopefully earlier. But we're going to be moving websites and all sorts of stuff. So we are letting some big dogs do some beta testing. So if you are, and to be a beta tester doesn't mean like, hey, I'm just going to, get some stuff going here. It means I'm going to get some stuff going. I'm going to use it. I'm going to give feedback on it, that sort of thing. So that's what a beta tester means, not just someone who wants to just, try it and not get feedback. So if you want to be a beta tester on some of these things, you can reach out to Kimberly. That's Kimberly@loveamericanhomes.com. And she can talk to you about some of those options too. John says, I'm looking for 100 acres just outside of fairly large towns. Any thoughts on how to find it? There is, and I hate to say this, but, there is the MLS. Obviously we say there's not many deals in the MLS, but you could look at expired listings in the MLS. That may get you kind of closer to what you're looking for, because sometimes with an expired listing, they want to sell, they just couldn't sell. So if they still want to sell, as an example, you could be able to negotiate a better price. It definitely one that does not include those realtor commissions that were going to be in there when they were listing with the realtor. And maybe if they're even more motivated as time has gone by, which in many cases happens, especially with these larger acreage opportunities, that could be an option as well. Gosh, and I had a big dog, and shoot, this big dog's going to kill me. I'm remembering his name right now. He is, he's in Houston. He has a property. It's a multi-million dollar property. His name, and I am having a blank. I can picture his face just like, just easy. Dang it. Let's see if he's on the call right now. Starts with a J, I think. And I'm just, it's Dave Tabiner, and he is on the call. Dave, I'm so sorry. I was having a blank on your name, but I remember you talked to me about a property that you have, and I can't remember exactly how many acres it is, but I know it's possibly in the Houston area or right outside of Houston. So, Dave, will you type in your email? I mean, your name and then your cell phone. If you're, oh, hold on. It looks like, let's see, Dave. Yeah, Dave, if you'll type in your name and phone number into the Q&A box, and I'll copy it out to everybody. Dave may be only peripherally listening, so I'm going to go ahead and, John, I'm going to type in his contact information, and you can grab him on the Taberner. Yep. Find him on the Big Dog Facebook page. And then he's also based in Houston. So send that to everybody. So that would be one source, you know, calling some brokers that are in some of those areas, see if they know of anything that's not on market, but not off market. So sometimes that works as well. Some of those larger brokerages, talk to the person who has a lot of listings. Sometimes they have different pocket listings. And then of course you get foreclosure lists in those towns. You go to FLS Online, so flsonline.com for a foreclosure list, and they have them in different small towns, so you might be able to get something there as well. So, John, I think I've answered your question there. Wes says, we called about a bandit sign that said price $295, ARV $475, haha, and it's offered by Net Worth Realty. Yeah. They don't share square footage or anything over the phone. They invited us to come in and talk with them about it and other properties, and why should we even go? No, Wes, don't go. It's going to be a waste of your time. At least that's what most big dogs and Phil and I have found. You know, we love selling properties to Net Worth and selling properties to New Western, but usually, what they do is, and their internal term, and we know this because we talked to, a Net Worth agent who ultimately became a big dog, and just was disgusted by the process of what they do. They say like, okay, how are we going to juice this deal? So how are we going to inflate the ARV? How are we going to deflate the repairs to make it look like a better deal? So basically what happens is you go and you get all geared up and excited, and then you go to these properties and there's, you know, they have like a bidding war of all these people who don't know what they're doing. And then you put a $5,000 non-refundable deposit down, and then you later go back and do your due diligence and you realize, oh crap, this property is not worth what they said it was worth, number one. And number two, the repairs are not what they said it was going to be. And then you bring it back to me and say, Shanoa, how can I get out of this? And I say something that really sucks, which is, this is going to sound harsh, but you'll lose less money if you walk away from that $5,000 non-refundable deposit than you'll lose if you take that property all the way to the finish line. And welcome to real estate investing. I want to make sure you guys stay safe. That's one way to stay safe. Now, listen, I don't mind you guys buying deals from New Western, Net Worth, et cetera, as long as you have done your own due diligence prior to doing so. If you're just relying on their due diligence, know that they have a conflict of interest, because the person who is selling it to you only gets paid if you believe their due diligence, and if their due diligence is off, then that's a problem. So, you know, can you go and kind of experience their process? Yes. Is it, you know, not in your favor? About 98% of the time, the answer is yes. So that would be it. Let's see here. So got that one. John, you're welcome. John says, who's the big dog in San Antonio and Austin who does the foreclosure auctions? So they don't, these are not necessarily foreclosure auctions, but these are, she auctions properties. So her name is Linda Welsh. And I'm not sure if it's Welsh. I think it's WCH, yeah. So she's an Austin realtor and broker, not a big dog, but Shanoa's neighbor. She does auctions. All right, so I'm sending this to you, John, Linda Welsh. So I'm in Austin, not Austin. Okay, I think I got that. Dave says, okay, Dave, sorry for the day. I was on my iPad and did not know how to, no worries. Okay. So, all right. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. So let's see, David Tabner gave his information. Dave Tabner, I'll put out his, info right now, Dave Tabner. John, this is for you, for John K. So he has 525 acres. Now could that be split? I don't know. So that's an option too. Okay. John said at the courthouse. Okay. So courthouse, that's different. Those are, Wendy Alexander, Austin trustee, I can't remember all the names right now. But if you, get the foreclosure list and you can just reach out to, reach out to Kimberly for that. It'll list all of the different, trustees who are at the courthouse in Austin, and what times they're there and all that sort of good stuff. So Kimberly can get you that whole foreclosure list. You can reach out to her anytime and grab that. Glenn says, I have a complex situation. I have a foreclosure lead where the lady living in the home does not own it. The owner passed away and his heirs live overseas. There's no other relatives that I can reach out to. Any ideas on how I could go about helping or acquiring the property? You gotta find them overseas. Cause they're the only ones who can, give you that property. Now, if you were really aggressive and Glenn, I know you have a little bit of, you're a little bit of a risk taker. So I'm just going to throw this out there as someone who is a risk taker. You could give the person who's living there, a couple thousand dollars to get out, and then reinstate the loan. So you'd have to get the information to be able to do that, which I know you know how to do that. And then you could start making the monthly payments going forward, and you could keep it as a rental property. Now, as long as you're not putting a lot of your own money in it, i.e., okay, I've got a, it's $10,000 to reinstate and get the person out. And then after that, I get, monthly cash flow of $1,000 a month. So I'm net positive after 10 months. And it's a risk that I'm willing to take that the overseas heirs may come back at some point. And it's a risk that I'm willing to take that, I know I don't really own this property, but I'm renting it anyway. Then that's something you could possibly do. I wouldn't wrap it. That would be too aggressive, too risky, but that is something that you could do if you couldn't find them. All right, guys, I don't see any other questions. So I think I got everybody. Oh, I see one last question. I see two. Okay. So let's see, to my question. I like your idea. Yep. You're welcome, Glenn. So Wes says, we watched the video about filling out a truck contract. There's a lot of intricacies, details. Do you have all of those details? If we were going to just do it on a napkin or a piece of paper, what would be the essentials for the latter? Yeah. Don't do that, Wes. This is going to sound harsh, but you got to figure out how to fill out the contract. So here's what we have done for you. So I'm going to put it on pause, and I'm going to pull up REI Matcher real quick. And I'm going to show you, we've already filled them out for you, so we can show you how to do it. I don't want you to do it on a napkin, because when you get to Alan's office, he's going to call me and say, what the heck is this dude Wes doing? And I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I'm just going to try and tell you how it is. So if you go to, let's see, I think it is in Community Corner Dropbox. Is it in here? I think so. Let's see. So we got Chenoa Seller Toolkit here. So if you go to you guys can't see my screen right now. Let me rewind this back. Here we go. I think you do see it. Here we go. So again, I'm going to go training in Big Dog Program Texas. And then I'm going to go to Kimberly's Corner /Dropbox. And in Kimberly's Corner, there's going to be Chenoa Seller Toolkit. This is all the contracts. This is the contracts that will work in about 95% of the situations. So the contracts, it is also the blank ones as well as the ones filled out. So just print these out and just take them with you and use that as, I know. Okay, yeah, sure. I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, I guess so, yeah. So just go ahead and take those out, print them out, bring them with you. Fill them out on your own house. That's really the best way to kind of get through that and make sure that you are successful at it. But if you wanted to be a doctor and you said, this looks kind of complex, you know, can I just, you know, play the operation game? You would not be successful. It's the same thing, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, and I know I'm coming off as one, but I just want to emphasize the point here. You got to put the effort in. So we printed them all out for you. We filled them. We hand wrote them. So you can see you can do that too. That's how I want to do it. Noon Hopkins got it. Okay, awesome. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it. Last question. Dave says, if an owner claims that they have taken care of a problem for a house which is being foreclosed on, is there any way to check that property will not be going to auction? Yeah, you could call the trustee. Now, will the trustee talk to you? Sometimes yes, most of the time no. So you could just call and say, hey, I'm calling for the owner. This is, you know, and they may think you are an attorney. So we've had some big dogs that were confused as attorneys. But you could say, hey, I'm calling to check to see if you got the reinstatement or if this property got pulled off of the auction list. Sometimes they'll ask you for an authorization to be able to tell you. Sometimes they'll just tell you. So you can do it that way. If you have an authorization with a bank, you can forward that bank authorization in and get it from the bank and even from the trustee, again, if you have the authorization. But if the seller's telling you, no, I don't need your help, no, it's covered, then you just kind of have to be rogue about it. And the easiest rogue way to be about it is to ask the trustee. And sometimes they'll tell you, sometimes they won't. The bigger trustees usually won't. The smaller trustees sometimes will make a mistake and do that. Well, guys, I don't see any other questions. So if there's no other questions, guys, I'm going to go ahead and call the call. Thank you all for being on today and asking such great questions. And we'll see you at the next meeting. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.